SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Pimlico Racecourse, Baltimore, Maryland, a very good Tuesday, race fans. Day two from here at Old Hilltop, and we have at least for the first day of the Bree Show at Timonium, the Fasig-Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale, the first day of three for the two-year-olds in training. They're going to have at least this first day on, well, what probably was a good racetrack track this morning after the first of what apparently is going to be a steady parade of spring, early summer type storms. We'll keep an eye on that, but looking forward after the show today to going over to Timonium and watching the Undertank Breeze Show. Starts at 11 o'clock and 3 days of this, and then things will pause for Preakness weekend, and then the visitors to Baltimore for the racing, a lot of them will stay and go to the horse sale on Monday and Tuesday of next week. And this has been a very productive sale, whether you're looking for something regional, New York breds, Pennsylvania breds, etc. This has been a very good sale, and actually it's an eclectic catalog, too. Some Louisiana breads. I was digging through and looking at some hips of interest and looked down. Oh, Louisiana bread. All right. Somebody will take that one home and compete down in Louisiana. Although that's one of the interesting elements of regional breeds. They turn up in, you know, in other marketplaces that don't necessarily take advantage of their state bred qualities and opportunities, but however you want to manage your horse. The news actually is well off the racetrack today, and it's hard to believe that between the time we got off the air yesterday after the news of the Supreme Court striking down PASPA and the fallout that is going to be just widespread and of lasting import and impact. And we'll talk about it at 10:30 in particular when Dennis Drazen joins us. And Dennis, a guest virtually all over the cable dial, national and other news networks, as everybody seeks out Drazen for his, honestly, it's a victory lap. I don't know how else to call it. And as I mentioned yesterday at our website at Derby Trail, a thread that started in 2013 tracking Drazen's pursuit of an answer on this question and the anti-commandeering concept, I mean, which is amazing when you read the Supreme Court decision and, you know, how simple and clear it is, saying PASPA does something that is basically unconstitutional, and very simply, the federal government can't tell the states what they can do. And Drazen has maintained that from day one, and no one seemed all that interested. Then suddenly today and yesterday, everybody they want to know. And Drazen has matter-of-factly maintained this from day one. And now in so many different directions, there is so much to be considered. And there's obviously, if you read any of the things that I linked to yesterday, including sportshandle.com, who I thought their coverage has been spectacular regarding where everything stands, including a tracking device they've got basically laying out what has happened in each state. And clearly, there are certain states that have already put themselves in position and that includes West Virginia, well, obviously New Jersey, first and foremost, and Dennis will outline the way they're going to approach things. They could be ready to go and take sports bets within 2 weeks, but at the same time, Dennis also, if you hadn't seen some of the quotes, even from last week's seasonal kickoff at Monmouth, Drazen had said he will also, you know, be receptive and will respond appropriately to the way Trenton, the way the state government is going to approach this as well. Indiana and West Virginia already have mechanisms that would place the sports betting management and pass through through the existing parimutuel licensed operations. And you know, this topic came up when Eric Hamelbeck and I conversed at the HBPA convention, and some people seem to misinterpret that discussion as being, you know, some sort of a demand or an implicit race industry, you know, missive that oh, racing has to be part of this. No, they don't have to be. But the and yes, parimutuel wagering is exceedingly different from the risk management concepts that's involved in sports betting. However, if you have an existing base and you have an infrastructure, and considering that the Wire Act, and we'll talk to Dennis about this, considering that the Wire Act is being used as a model for a lot of the execution at state level and the way they're developing laws to govern the sports betting at the state level, it just makes sense to take advantage of the existing licensed bet-taking operations. And obviously, you know, certain racetrack companies are probably a little further ahead given, you know, some of their casino operations and relationships. But as Dennis Drazen has shown and is led by example, you can make deals. I mean, obviously in New Jersey is uniquely set between the William Hill agreement and sportsbook facility that was prepared at Monmouth and the presence of Betfair as well. I mean, Betfair is going to be, if you're a New Jersey resident, I mean, for all of the misery that New Jersey residents have suffered because of New Jersey bets and you not being able to utilize any other construct or any other platform, you're now the engine on the train, New Jersey residents. You can stand tall, pound your chest. You are King Kong on top of, well, I can't say the Empire State Building, so I could say what's the tallest building in New Jersey? There's got to be some tower in Newark, I suppose. the New Jersey resident, you are going to be able to play on Betfair as well, because you know, the in-game trading should be tremendous fun. I mean, think about it. The whole Betfair concept is at your disposal. In-game betting. So there's so much to absorb, and there's been just a flood. I mean, literally in not even 24 hours. That's what's funny. I mean, there's been so much interesting conversation generated. And T.D. Thornton's piece in the TDN is has got an extensive treatment at Bloodhorse. Frank Angst, who, of course, writes a lot of the business, Frank's got a piece. And there's also some insight from the analyst at McKinsey. And that's worth reading. Sports betting provides plenty of upside for racing. It talks about the interaction, and what can be gleaned, and what can be created as cohesive and parallel track, and the kinds of things. Cross selling is discussed, and so much more. They also, at the end of that piece, they talk about fixed odds. And fixed odds, to me, for years I've wondered why we can't take advantage. Down in Australasia, particularly New Zealand and Australia, they've got the fixed odds model that's built into their into TAB, which runs the tote in New Zealand and Australia. And fixed odds is something that, if we're looking for innovation and looking for new players, one of the things that would really help would be for new players to be able to lock in fixed odds, because they get confused. And when you first start out and you bet a horse that was 6-1 when you bet, and then by the time the bell rings, 7-2, and then there's still a couple of flashes and flushes to who knows where it goes, especially in this era with the computer batch wagering that is distorting everything. The fixed odds would be something that people would, especially new players, not just new players, would really take to. So there's so many interesting things coming out of this, and we'll talk to everybody. If not this week, certainly we'll have time by the time we get to New York, and between Preakness and Belmont. This will be a fast-moving and a fascinating new era. And for those of us, frankly, I'm 58, and for those of us, I suppose even if you're in your 20s and your 30s and you think about the sports wagering concept and the exclusivity that Vegas had, this is exciting. I don't know why there has to be some negatives being bandied as to, what it means to the future of horse racing. There's plenty of evidence, in fact. And in fact, in that McKinsey piece, they address this. I mean, there's been legal sports wagering throughout, throughout the United Kingdom. And horse racing coexists very comfortably with the sports betting there. And Andy Serling, I know, wants to talk about this too. Andy and I had a conversation even before the decision came out. This was the night before last, and Andy said that there's some real misconceptions. I mean, Andy has been betting. Andy bets sports, and I haven't bet sports as much. Years ago I did, but I haven't bet it as much as I used to, and I take advantage of potential opportunities when we go to Vegas. These last several years, part of the NHC coverage, and I'll bet some over under win totals and so forth, and those are fun, and some prospective championship type wagers out in front, future. I like futures, even though there's a school of thought that says that that they're suckers. They're fun. They give you something to track. But the sports betting, having this sports betting landscape, to me, if anything, and it'll be interesting to get some feedback from, you know Johnny touched on it yesterday. Johnny, you know, we've documented, you know, the success Johnny's had, the kinds of, you know, bets he's made in golf and the like. It's exciting, and I think it's going to have a positive effect to racing. And I'm not talking about racing getting a piece of the action. That's not what I'm talking about. I brought this up with Hamelbeck in New Orleans. And Andy will address this, because he's going to say, you know, people think, I'm going to slay him betting sports. Well, you may think that it's just as challenging, if not more so, than horse racing. And I will suggest that in terms of having exposure and having a wider array of people able to bet sports locally will only display racing if we market it properly, if we sell this message that playing the races is going to be a better bet for you than the sports betting. I mean, do we have to be competitive on pricing? Absolutely. And, you know, this gets into, you know, some broader conversations on takeout, of course, and the like. However, I got a feeling that it'll be advantageous. And if the industry can take advantage and market it properly, we can cross promote and interact and make people realize they've been missing out on what is a better bet in the long run, where you have a fighting chance in terms of horse racing as your bet of choice. Not to mention, you know, how much, you know, exponentially you can make applying your bankroll successfully. I mean, people playing parlays, three-team parlay. Take that same money and play a pick three, and see what you're gonna make. And I also think that the analytics are a big part of this story, and this is something else the industry can address out of this. And that is, you know, there's going to be a big movement in terms of the sports data analytic market, obviously. And there'll be no doubt, you know, there'll be that portion will be monetized undoubtedly. It already is. I mean, there's already that. And I'm talking about selling of picks. I mean, that to me, the tout thing is. I've discussed that before, but the merchandising of the data for people to make sports bets, that'll be fairly complex. I mean, you see all the stats that have, you know, the fanalytics that have come out of baseball in the last several years, you know, with the loft angle and all that stuff. But people will realize, and anybody that puts time against that will realize that, you know, taking a serious approach to wagering on a sport, it costs money and it is trial and error and it involves all the same things that we talk about in horse racing as being challenging to the marketing of the game. The learning curve and, you know, the application, you know, all that. That all is the same. It's a parallel track. And I think we've got potential to show that If you're willing to put in that kind of effort, you're going to be rewarded even better playing horses. But nobody's more upbeat about things like this than me. So maybe maybe I'm just painting a rosy picture. But I think it's tremendous, and it can be a win-win for everybody. And I would also say that this would be an opportune time for the industry to be a little more generous with the data. We'll get back to that at some point. I didn't mean to make that a 15-minute discussion. It's not really a discussion. It's just me. For a discussion, you need at least one other person. That gets us to... that gets us to the other news from yesterday, which is jockeys gone wild. the jockeys are, it's like a brawl. It's like a Texas death match suddenly. Oh, well, now we're going to leave the NTRA Safety Alliance. They're out of control. I'm just kidding. Steve, we'll get a chance, not today, but Steve Cook from NTRA, from the Safety and Integrity Alliance, and Terry Meeks, I thought it took some haymakers and some kind of wild-eyed suggestions about what's been done. Basically, a little ridiculous with some of the nobody cares about the safety of the jockeys. I mean, it's just preposterous. Let's take a quick break. We'll come right back. A lot to do.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The 144th Kentucky Derby is in the books, and now it's off to Baltimore for the second leg of the Triple Crown. Will Justify dominate again as a short-priced favorite, or will a long shot up in the apple cart? See what the experts have to say in ExpressBet's free Preakness Wager Guide. That's right, the guide is free to everyone and available online at ExpressBet.com. Inside the guide, you'll find expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Don't plunk down your hard-earned bread until you've read what these guys have to say. Also, ExpressBet's free Preakness Wager Guide provides you with important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Preakness Wager Guide. And while you're there, open a new ExpressBet account and check out our sensational new account offers, including a $500 welcome bonus. Visit the website for complete details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
He's got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by five.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania-bred Army Mule was purchased at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic Sale at Timonium. Now he's a Grade 1 winner.
Army Mule, ultra impressive in the Cartery Flew Home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breds at the Fasig Tipton 2-Year-Olds in Training Sale, May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine Unlock and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're stars now, can't you see? The center of the world is only me. Flowing on through catacombs. The endless cycle, flesh to bone.
Back at the races at Old Hilltop, hi-ho, Pimlico, and this morning, I actually did a couple of things. Last night, sent out that those two pictures from the filming here at Pimlico 30 years ago. It doesn't seem possible, but it's 30 years since Tin Men was made by Barry Levinson, part of the Baltimore trilogy of Diner and Tin Men and Avalon. And I found a great picture. You know, I've got this unique opportunity every year I come here. I'm in this little office that at one time Gabby used, although she never actually used it. She was always downstairs. But it is the repository of Jerry Fruitkopf, who is about as famous a racetrack photographer, and ran on a slightly parallel track with predates Bob Coglianese, but certainly were contemporaries for long stretches of their photography careers. And Fruitkopf just set a standard that Jim McHugh, who is now the track photographer and has been for decades here since Fruchthoff's retirement and passing. And all the photos are here. So I just have a riot putting up these almost all black.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Limited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com performance plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
He's got got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by five.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania bred Army Mule was purchased at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale at Timonium. Now he's a grade one winner.
Army Mule, ultra impressive in the Cartery flew home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breds at the Fasig Tipton two-year-olds in training sale, May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vaughn, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Back, and sorry, neither Casey nor I know what happened, but I think there was a little hiccup here, and next thing I know, Casey signals me, we lost you. I think I was talking about Jay Hovde's piece about the Woodlawn vase, and I mentioned that I put out a picture of the vase from the 60s and a great picture of the cupola and Bobby Ussery up on the stage getting the Woodlawn vase. And as always, whenever you look up the history, and as I said earlier, you know, being in this building, it just drips with history. And the horses you look up, and we actually have got a couple of Preaknesses to listen to today that'll be fun. And it's the specific May 15th anniversaries of a couple different Preaknesses today, and we're gonna hear the 1993 Preakness and the 65 Preakness too, both run on this date, and Tom Rolfe in 65, and got Prairie Bayou in 93. But that picture I put up with Bobby Ussery, and I put it up for him at his Facebook page, and he got a big kick out of it. But Ballyache is one of those horses that history sort of forgot, because he ended up dying near the end of the year. And colic, basically. And he was terrific and is really... When I say forgotten, he is really forgotten. But his performance in that 1960 Preakness was just dominant. Went to the front and at no point challenged. I mean, just was absolutely terrific. And he had, you know, he'd won the Flamingo. He'd won the Florida Derby. And the strange thing was he didn't go favored in the Derby, but you know, Venetian Way upset the Derby, and he had beaten Venetian Way four times leading up to Derby. So Ballyache, and he's a sidebar, and I don't remember this coming up when the circumstances around Rachel Alexandra happened. But, and maybe it's because Ballier, you know, didn't win the Derby, but he was sold after the Derby and went to the new connections, so known as Turfland, and they paid a big number at the time. They paid $1.25 million for Ballyache. And then he, you know, turns around and rewarded them instantly. He couldn't, he came up the day before Belmont. He went, he was off, and so they scratched. They didn't run Belmont. And then later he hurt an ankle and was going to ultimately, you know, he was going to head to stud. And Collecton died in October of 1960. You know, thereby kind of dooming him a little bit to obscurity, really. And that performance stands up. And some interesting, a lot of, you know, that's the best part. I've said this forever. You find so many fascinating things. You start looking at results, and it leads you to a breeder. In this case, the Gaines brothers, Marvin and Alan Gaines. They were small breeders, but had nice, you know, had nice success. And Leonard Fruchtman, who was the original owner of Ballyache, was an Ohio steel manufacturer. A lot of fun. The game will fascinate you. Ballyache, by the way, as another sidebar, you know, was buried at Lane's End. Was headed to Bosque Bonita Farm, which was what Lane's End was before it became Lane's End. So there you go. Back to the news of the day, and I see that George is touching base. And you know, when jockey conversations arise, and I do have an addendum to yesterday's conversation, and New York Racing Association also has got a statement that is being issued in regards to the Saturday loggerheads. I haven't talked to George in ages. George, good morning.
Hey, you haven't talked to me in ages because you gave me the inspiration to do something. A few weeks ago, you had Dan Hurtak on. And the first horse I ever claimed was a horse off Dan Hurtak named He's a Pro. You know, and I don't know if you know it or not, but Dan Hurtak is a scratch golfer.
I didn't know
and
that.
And who owned He's a Pro was Gary Player.
How about that?
He used to train horses for Gary Player. So in a roundabout way, I was already writing a book. I was writing a book on Aussie rocks. I was going to write a book on all the different Australian rock groups and their formation and everything. But I shelved that because I decided, let me do something different, because Steve gave me an inspiration. So now I'm writing a book on rock and horses. That's going to be the name of the book. And I'm going to outline all the different rock stars who have had an affinity for the game, who have owned horses. And you're going to be surprised when you find out how many of them there are out there.
I'm never surprised. I mean, when we think about, you know, some of the musicians and actors, and think about Louis B. Mayer, and I mean, there's always been association.
I mean, you know that the group Franz Ferdinand got their name
sure
off a racehorse, right?
Yep.
You know that story. Well, there's lots of other stories out there. There's a lot of people in this game that are rock stars that people don't know that they're actually in the game. A lot of them are in Australia and in England, but still, I mean, they're very prominent people. So when I get done with it, I'm going to send you the manuscript.
I love it. I love it. You know, you came up during Derby, I had the fundraiser that we did for Second Stride, and Dale Romans and the Roman Legion were having dinner. It was at Molly Malone's, and Will Velley was there. And I said
and I
to
have
him,
been in
I said,
touch over a bunch of cases.
Yes. And I said to him, I said, you know, you got to know my friend George Cromarco. Of course, he knows George.
Well, let me tell you what I did in the Derby, and then I'll let you go because I know you probably have a busy morning. What I did in the Derby, I did a lot of checking, and I gave up on long shots winning the Derby. Ever since the point system came in, I think the favorites have pretty much dominated.
Six straight.
What I did with two friends of mine is we put together a ticket where we look at the winners of the 500-point races. We threw out the Louisiana Derby. We concentrated on Oaklawn, New York, California, and the Wood. So we came up with the four horses. We didn't like Magnum Moon at all, so we got rid of him. So what we did is we put a superfecta together where we put the three winners of those races, California, Florida, and the Wood. We put them first, second, and third with all in the superfecta. And then we put the first, second, all, and third. So we wound up with the superfecta. So I think, you know, the way you got to look at the Derby nowadays is the horses that win the 100-point races are the ones that are going to be prominent in the Derby. I think that's pretty much a proven fact over the past few years, isn't it?
Very much. Yeah, absolutely.
So when we got the long shot, when we got Hollandover's horse to ride fourth, we got paid for it. And
absolutely.
I think that's the way you have to look at it from now on. You know, these crazy long shots, they're good. They're okay in the third and fourth spot, but they're not going to win. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that the horses that win those races coming in are the ones that have the big edge.
I think we'll certainly next year there'll be, you know, the improbability factor. In fact, the numbers, the statistical number that came up was what, 20,000 to 1 that a six straight favorite win, and it, obviously that's only going to get more extravagant. People will start betting. We'll start betting on whether a favorite wins the Derby. That would the odds will be on that. I'm sure those will be available if they are available.
Yeah, but we know that Justify was a standout. I mean, he had done nothing wrong, and he was a triple buyer to begin with, and he had done nothing wrong, and he drew the right post position, and everything seemed to set up pretty good for him. But we also liked Audible. We liked Vino Rosso. And, of course, we like Chad's horse. So, you know, I'm not a chalk player. I've never been a chalk player in my life, but I was looking for value underneath, and Hollandorfer gave it to us.
No, that was that's the structure. We've had any number of people that have taken that same, you know, that's why we bring it up. Sid Fernando, Tony Black, and Doug Salvatore all talked about instilled regard as unnatural for the bottom, you know, based on certainly on pedigree, he was a natural.
Yeah, and then my boy Jack helped us a lot with the odds because
yeah,
I don't
that
think
was...
he's still regard. You know, he was, like you guys said on the show, he was the late coming Gronkowski.
Well, that's the number that is most stunning. The my boy Jack factor exceeded what Gronkowski was going to do. In terms of,
I think so,
of dead money. I mean, there's, as it turns out, now there's plenty of people who are saying with a little less traffic and the better trip, my boy Jack, you know, maybe hits the board. But whatever.
There was a point raised on TVG, and I don't know if you heard it, but they were talking about how the opening mutuals get posted, and they said, and I don't know if it's factual or not because I've never looked at it. They said that what gets posted early is just the in-house handle at Churchill.
That's correct.
The simulcast and money doesn't come in until later on.
But it doesn't matter.
What they were saying.
It doesn't matter, though. Those early numbers do not. It's remarkable, actually, considering how the pool grows. But it's amazing how the early odds do not change much overnight. I mean,
right?
They,
which is why they were
maintain.
Saying that everybody saw my boy Jack at a low price, and he continued to stay at a low price.
Right.
He attracted a lot of bets because of that. That was their point. But I don't know how factual that is because they're not known for being very factual most of the time. But anyway. That was just a theory that was propounded. Yeah. But anyway, Steve, I wanted to thank you for the inspiration.
No, I'm glad you hit, as always, and look forward.
Well, I was talking about the book. You gave me an idea to go forward with it, so I put the other book on hold, and this is the one I'm working on right now.
Very cool.
And I know rock and horses are your two favorite things, so maybe the book will be interesting to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. You take care, my friend. And
George,
have a good
always
time in Baltimore.
Thanks, buddy. Always fun to hear from George. Pretty funny. And I'll use the international. You know, usually George has got more international flavor to his input. And I thought when Casey said George is calling, I thought he would address the jockey situation. And I'll go back to that, actually. There was another motivation beside what came out with the reporting regarding the meeting that the jocks in New York had on Saturday that delayed the start of the race day. There was more. There was, with some research yesterday, there was more to it. And one of the motivations that prompted it was the jocks being upset about a racing office text message out to the horseman community, basically letting it be known that Tyler Bayes and Flavian Pratt were going to be in New York riding on Saturday. And that annoyed the New York jocks. And frankly, I don't blame them. There's really no reason that should be coming from, you know, from a racing office. That's what jocks agents do. They canvass trainers and offer their services. It shouldn't be coming out of the racing office. And so that apparently was as much a factor in Saturday's sit down as anything else. And then the other issues were presented. And obviously this has been brewing, and you know, we'll hear from Steve Cook, as I said, and probably from Terry Meeks as well. But if you saw the different pieces regarding the withdrawal, for instance, from the Safety and Integrity Alliance, I thought Terry Meeks said some things that they're just simply not accurate and not true. And you know, that includes that, you know, there's been no, you know, concrete response to, you know, a number of the human portions of the Safety and Integrity Alliance. And as it came up, what, just even as recently as yesterday, I think I mentioned the alarm system, the loose horse siren system and lighting system. Obviously it's to the benefit of the horses that are being ridden by the humans. I mean, it benefits both. There's been, you know, an ongoing attempt by the Alliance when it comes to accreditation. I mean, if certain racetracks don't want to participate in the accreditation, that you can't necessarily, you know, hold the Alliance responsible for that. But the ones that are part of it and get accredited, everybody works toward the standards. And it really felt like some of the things that Terry Meeks said yesterday there were some real semantic issues involved. So, I mean, it's kind of inside baseball, and it's not a positive, obviously, if the jocks are dissatisfied and the way the guild is stating that they don't feel that all of the measures that are supposed to be part of the Alliance and part of its, you know, its accreditation program that they're not supposed to be just suggestions. They're supposed to be standards that are then met. And I don't know what withdrawing from the program, how that benefits anybody. You would think that they would want to work, you know, with the Alliance and with the racetracks. You know, and certainly the Guild, their apology, which left out horse players the other day, they apologized to, you know, owners and trainers, and they forgot the players, the horse players that make all of it possible. So, I don't know. There doesn't feel like nobody's right in this circumstance. Might as well stay here till the top of the hour. Andy Serling, Dennis Drazen, later Jeremy Plonk, and we're also going to, I think John's visiting. I think John Parada is going to touch base. He's on his way to Ireland, and we've got I think 25 people that have joined the Dublin Racing Club, which is really cool, and we'll see what John, what he's up to, as what this trip to Ireland is going to entail. Todd Pletcher later as well today, and we'll hopefully get an update from Todd. We're starting to inch closer, a month away. Army Mule has not worked back since his stunning win, and so we'll find out from Todd how Army Mule is doing. Is he on target for the Met? And obviously the Met started to come up for conversation and for consideration with the Bolt Doro news that he will participate as a three-year-old. And that's always a nice historic, has a historic element to it, obviously. Going to mention a couple of other pieces of news that came yesterday. Wajeda, who won the Filly and Mare Turf. She's been retired by Godolphin, and Charlie Appleby been trying to, frankly, hold her together, and has not been easy, and had basically a recurrence of some of the things that have kept her out, just little things. So, you know, one aspect, boy, it's pretty. I don't know if they'll get her to the shed. But Wajeda, and she won a lot of fans. So I saw a nice response actually from everybody about her retirement. I want to mention a piece that I hadn't seen until yesterday. The piece that John Phillips wrote from Darby Dan. John addressed a Washington Post op-ed piece by Kathleen Parker, I had not seen it after, you know, the crush, the post-derby crush is tough. I had not seen the piece that she wrote, and I've got the Washington Post as an app, and I did not see the piece that she wrote where she strangely seemed to conflate thoroughbred racing with the slaughter industry, where she talks about 130,000 horses, you know, which is a working number, that unfortunately end up in Canada and Mexico for slaughter. And it somehow seems to want to paint a picture that the thoroughbred industry is, you know, actively complicit. She also made the complete old wives' tale right early on about two-year-olds and how two-year-olds are raced before they're fully mature. Right. They're raced before they're fully mature because horses don't fully mature till they're five. And it has been proven for a century and a half in thoroughbred racing and any equine athletic endeavor, that getting a horse into training and stressing them, and stressing meaning exercise, is a complete positive to their long-term health, soundness, and well-being. The fact that anybody writes this claptrap over and over again, and it just spews this out. Oh, they're forcing two-year-olds to train and race. Yes, because if you don't, you're even more likely to have an unsound horse down the road. It's astounding. And then talks about how Baffert held Justify back to allow him time to mature. Now, technically, Baffert, yeah, had no choice, as the horse just kept growing. Horses, when they're growing, they'll lay down, and particularly when their legs are growing longer, they will lay down for periods of time, and when that happens, you let them until they get back up and the growth spurts are over, then you can resume training. For starters, I mean, that's the first thing that caught my eye, that said to me, myself, this woman and this op-ed piece is moot. But then somehow she turns and morphs and becomes an advocate. The last portion of it becomes an advocate of reopening slaughterhouses in the U.S. She wasn't writing to protest or to say, we have to actively stop slaughter and horses for export. She basically is advocating the reopening of the slaughterhouses in the U.S. It's the most bizarre piece. And John Phillips addressed it. And if you haven't seen it in the TD, I'll send the link. And read Kathleen Parker's bizarre piece, and then of course John's very, very reasonable and appropriate response. Very strange, and that one caught me. That one caught me off guard. Sometimes you miss things in the news that you're better off having missed. Right. Let's take a break here. Top of the hour. Andy Serling joins us next. Bottom of the hour. Visit with Dennis Drazen, get the latest, and talk about what transpired yesterday and the absolute courageous fight that Drazen and everybody involved in getting PASPA overturned. And we'll get Dennis's thoughts about going forward, Todd Pletcher later, Jeremy Plonk, and more. Stay with us.
The latest racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
He's got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by 5.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania bred Army Mule was purchased at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic Sale at Timonium. Now he's a Grade 1 winner.
Army Mule, ultra impressive in the Cartery Flew Home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breds at the Fasig Tipton 2-Year-Olds in Training Sale, May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.